this number out this morning. Good to have some visiting with you, and want you to feel at ease as you make your visit. One way we think that may help you feel at ease is if you take your Bible and study with us. We have no intention of belittling anything you might believe to be true, and yet I have the responsibility of preaching the truth of the gospel. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'll draw it to my attention, I'll make the proper correction. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. And upon your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we'll immerse you into Christ for the remission of sins, as is taught in Mark 16:16 and other places. Or if you need to be restored, if you'll make your way to the front, we'll be praying with and for you that you'll be restored unto Christ and this church family. Last Lord's Day morning, we examined what we might identify as the resurrection morning from the Gospel of Luke in the 24th chapter. And we examined the two Marys that came to the tomb only to find grave clothes. The tomb, other than the grave clothes, was empty. Jesus had been risen from the dead, and the women returned from the tomb and told the rest all the things they had witnessed, as is read in Luke 24 and verse 9. Now we turn our attention to two disciples traveling on the road to Emmaus, which is some 7 miles from the city of Jerusalem. And it is on a Sunday afternoon when they're walking home when the risen Christ appears unto them. And what I'd like for us to do this morning is look at resurrection afternoon. After we examined resurrection morning last Lord's Day, this Lord's Day, I want us to look at resurrection afternoon and what occurred with the risen Savior as He encountered two individuals on the road to Emmaus. In verse 13, let's read just a little bit. In Luke 24:13, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know Him. And He said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you are having with one another as you walk and are sad?' Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' They said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and unto the prophets, he expounded to them in all the Scripture the things concerning himself." I first want us to take note that at the beginning of this walk, you'll find these two disciples walking in confusion and dismay. Notice as they're walking along, they have sadness in their heart. And you'll find that Jesus asked them in verse 17, "Why is your face downcast?" or "Why are you so sad?" And so in your Bible, I want you to take note that in verse 14, they're discussing all the things that were happening. And they were confused and they were hurt. And then in verse 17, when Jesus asked them, "Why are you so sad?" they said, "Do you not know the things that have happened in the city of Jerusalem?" And I want you to take note, they're talking to the very Christ. They're talking to the one they were talking about. But their eyes were restrained. I've often wondered if it wasn't because of their confusion and their grief and their tears, they were blinded to the one that they were talking to. They did not recognize they were talking to the resurrected Christ. But then in verse 24, notice that something else is said. They tell Jesus, the women who had went to the tomb, Him they did not see. How ironic, they were now talking to Jesus and they did not see. They said that the women who went to the tomb did not see Him. And yet, my friend, He's been raised from the dead. They're talking to Him and they did not see. And then if you take your Bible, I believe that you see their pain. You see their confusion. And I'll show you part of their confusion in verse 21. Notice in verse 21, they were hoping that Jesus was going to redeem Israel. What they were hoping for was a physical kingdom. They did not recognize that Jesus had a spiritual kingdom in mind when He came to this earth. They thought that Israel would be a powerhouse again, like it was in the days of Solomon. They thought that they were going to reign again and be a nation mighty in name and power. But Jesus didn't come to redeem just Israel. He came to redeem all men in a spiritual kingdom. But that brings up another thought. They had encountered the risen Christ, but did not know it. They had saw the crucifixion. They'd heard about the empty tomb, but they didn't understand everything. And you know, that goes to show that you can know certain things, but not understand all that is involved. But that brings up the second part of our study. And that is when Jesus expounded the Scripture unto them. Look again in verses 26 and 27, and notice that Jesus looks at the people, and He first says in verse 25, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe. He said, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into His glory? And He begins back with Moses and all the prophets, and with all the Scriptures, He expounds to them the things concerning Himself. Have you ever thought that Jesus taught them the Word of God? He explained, He expounded in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard that lesson? Wouldn't you have loved to have been walking on the road with the Emmaus disciples as Jesus is expounding unto them the Scripture? Imagine as Jesus talked to them and they're soaking in the teaching, not realizing they're walking with the one who fulfilled the word that He is proclaiming. That is a tremendous thought to me. And yet Jesus goes back and He begins to explain to them. Now I want to tell you something. If you or I had been Jesus, we probably would have said, look, it's me. I'm here. We'd wrapped our arms around Him and said, the show's back on. I've been risen. Look. We might have danced around the room. Ta-da, I'm here. But that's not what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He expounded unto them the Scripture. They did not yet recognize it was the Christ, but Jesus did not reveal Himself with an experience, but with the Word. I've had a lot of people tell me that they've had a feeling better felt than told. Well, my friend, notice that's not what Jesus relied upon. And I've had some people tell me, preacher, if I could just see the risen Christ, I would believe. There were people that did see Him and didn't believe. But I'll tell you what they did. They encountered Jesus not through an experience, not some subjective emotion, but He revealed Himself through the facts of Scripture. He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. It was more than a subjective feeling. He showed them who He was through truth. That is what caused their hearts to burn down in verse 32. When they said, did our hearts not burn within us when He talked with us on the road? And watch it. While He opened the Scripture to us. This is after they recognized His revelation when He revealed who He was. When He broke the bread in verse 31. In verse 30. And notice their eyes were open and He vanished from their sight. And they didn't say that's when their heart burned. He said our hearts burned when He expounded the Scripture to us. You know, my friend, Christianity is highly emotional. But it's based upon the truth of God's Word, not some subjective experience. But that brings up the third thought. In your Bible, in the book of Luke, in the 24th chapter, look at verse 28. When they drew near the village where they were going, He indicated He would have gone further. You know, Jesus was not going to force Himself on these two individuals. He allowed them to make the decision if they wanted Him to stay or go. Jesus never forces Himself on anybody. Here, the risen Christ left them with the choice. You know, He revealed Himself after they made the plea, abide with us. They constrained Him in verse 29, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to stay with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at the table with them, that He took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. That's when their eyes were opened. But Jesus did not force them. Jesus gave them a choice. Christ reveals Himself to those who are searching. But that brings up a fourth thought in our study. Have you ever thought that when their eyes were open, their hearts burned? Now notice what caused their hearts to burn. Again, it was what about Him telling them about the Scripture and that He has fulfilled the Scripture. And it was the breaking of the bread that opened their eyes to who He was. But it was the teaching of the Word that caused the Word of God that removed the confusion. It was the promises of the Word of God that calmed their fears and relieved their anxiety. They had encountered Jesus, but it was not until He explained the Scriptures they realized they had been talking and walking with the risen Savior. I think it's important we see it was the expounding of the Word that caused their hearts to burn. But then, if you will, think about something else. After they had heard that Jesus had been risen, notice they didn't stay because the Titans were playing, but they had something else on their mind. They went back that very hour to tell others. Now, they had just walked 7 miles. And it was afternoon. Now it would be evening. And notice what they're going to do. And after this, it's late. And these disciples head back to tell others what they learned. That Jesus is risen from the dead. And that they've seen Him. Yes, they just walked 7 miles from Jerusalem to home. Yes, it was late. Yes, it would be dangerous to travel by night back to Jerusalem. But they couldn't keep the news to themselves. Just like the women in verses 1 through 12. When they went back to the disciples and to say the tomb was empty, these disciples had to tell others about the resurrected Christ. They had a message to tell, and it couldn't wait. It was an urgent message. And can you imagine the excitement they had when they got back and they told of what happened? If you have your Bible, look in verse 34. They found that the others in verse 33 were gathered together. And notice what they said in verse 34. The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told Him the things that had happened on the road and how He was known to them in the breaking of bread. The Lord is risen indeed. Doesn't that put a thrill in your heart this morning? It put a thrill in the heart of the two Marys we talked about last Lord's Day morning, Resurrection morning. And it put a thrill in the heart of these two disciples on Resurrection afternoon when they learned that Jesus has been resurrected. I want to take that. I want to make application in the lesson yours. The first thing I want to bring to our mind is some fail to see Jesus because of confusion and sadness. They do not recognize He's near due to their lack of understanding and their grief. So often we're blinded by ignorance and tears, we fail to see the risen Savior by faith. And there are some who are confused, and what they need is the Word of God explained to them. And I'll tell you, that is nothing to be ashamed of. We all need someone to explain truth to us. Jesus expounded the Word to us. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Acts in the 8th chapter. In the book of Acts in the 8th chapter, you remember that there was a man who was the Ethiopian treasureman, and he's riding along reading the prophet Isaiah, and Philip ran to him and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless some man, what? Guide me?" And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. And then Philip, taking that scripture from Isaiah 53, you come down in verse 35, it said, Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. He explained the scripture. And I want you to understand, my friend, some fail to see that Jesus is with them. Those who are outside the body of Christ, they're without Christ. They're like those disciples on the road to Emmaus. They're downcast. I don't know how many times I've stood at the bedside of someone who's dying who wasn't a Christian. But I'll tell you something. It's one of the emptiest feelings you'll ever have. Because there's no hope. They may have lived a gem of a life. They may have done a lot of good things, but they've never confessed their faith in Christ. They've never been immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. They've never put their faith in the Lord. And though the family pictures are around them, and though people are trying to comfort them, and though there may even be talk of going on somewhere better, we all know that their faith wasn't in the risen Savior. And what do they have to look forward to? But as Christians, I'll tell you something. The Lord is with us even when we don't see. In Hebrews 13:5, He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." There may be days I don't feel He's there, but I'll tell you something. My feeling can be wrong. He said, "I am there." Secondly, how often do we study the Bible? You know, my friend, that's where we come to learn about Jesus. That's where we encounter the Christ, is on the pages of God's Word. So often people want some experience and say, "If I could only see Jesus, I would believe." These two on the road to Emmaus saw Jesus, but it was the truth He taught that gave them conviction. Not some feeling that was better felt than told. What convicted them was the truth of God's Word. And if you're not a Christian, you can meet Jesus in the Word and in baptism. And you can have peace of mind knowing that you are a child of God. That He came to take away your sin. That He died upon the cross and shed His blood that you may be redeemed. But He didn't just stay on that cross. He didn't stay in the tomb. He was raised by the power of God, as Ephesians 1 says. But if you are a Christian, how often do you let God talk to you through His Word? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, it said, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." In 2 Thessalonians 2:14, Paul said, "We've been called by the gospel." How do I know what the gospel is? I study, I read, I understand the good news that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and raised again. And that through His blood I can have redemption of sin. But that brings up something else. Does your heart burn within you? The feeling that follows after you put your faith in the facts of God's Word. Some people put their feelings, their faith in their feelings and not in the facts. And I'll tell you, that's the wrong order. You need to put your faith in the facts. Then your heart will burn. Verse 32 of Luke 24 follows verse 27. After He expounded the Word, then their hearts burned within. Have you ever thought of the joy of being a child of God? Have you ever thought of the joy of knowing you're one of His children? That ought to cause us to have holy heartburn. That ought to cause us to have great joy to know that we belong to the God of heaven. And we have something to look forward to. all because of what His Son done on the cross. But I want to tell you something, my friend. Jesus will not force Himself on you. You have a choice in the matter. Either you're going to believe in the resurrected Christ and follow in His steps and obey His word, or you're going to deny it. He leaves that choice to you. But once your faith is in the risen Christ, you can't help but tell others. You can't wait to share the good news. When was the last time you were excited to tell somebody Jesus is raised from the dead? Can I say something in all kindness and yet candor? I don't care what your fantasy football team looks like. I'm saying it to some of my friends. I don't care how fast your car is. I don't care how good your job or your house looks right now. The best news in the life of every believer is that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. Because that gives me hope that when I die, I too. That gives me something to look forward to. Something better than this world. Something better than this life. And those disciples went back and they said, Jesus is raised from the dead. Indeed, the Lord is risen. That's the best news ever told. Because that means that my sins can be taken away. And I can become a child of God. And if I can become a child of God, knowing my sinful past, knowing how filthy of a sinner I was, knowing how checkered a past I have, I'll tell you, my friend, you can become a child of God. And no matter what sin you've committed, no matter what wrong you've done, that Jesus will take it away in the grave of baptism and you'll be raised up clean to walk in newness of life. If you follow the risen Savior. If you're here this morning and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come.